Welcome to GCSE Revision Ready, the podcast that gets you exam confident one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most philosophically rich and genuinely fascinating topics on the EdExcel Religious Studies specification: good, evil, and suffering. Whether you find this topic a little daunting or you're already intrigued by the big questions it raises, by the end of this episode, you'll have a clear, structured understanding of everything the examiner wants to see, and a few tricks to make sure you're picking up every available mark. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get into it. Section 1, Core Concepts. Let's start with the absolute foundation. The central philosophical puzzle in this topic is called the inconsistent triad. You might also hear it called the problem of evil. Here's the idea. Christians, and many other religious believers, hold three things to be true about God simultaneously. First, God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, he can do anything. Second, God is omnibenevolent, meaning all good. He loves humanity completely and wants only good for us. Third, evil and suffering exist in the world. We can see this all around us. War, disease, natural disasters, cruelty. Now here's the problem. If God is all-powerful, he could prevent evil. If God is all good, he would want to prevent evil. But evil exists, so how can all three of these statements be true at the same time? That's the inconsistent triad, and it's the engine that drives this entire topic. The philosopher J.L. Mackey, writing in 1955, put it bluntly. He argued that a God with these three attributes simply cannot exist alongside the reality of evil and suffering. This is called the logical problem of evil. Now, before we go further, you need to be absolutely clear on the distinction between two types of evil. This comes up in almost every question on this topic, and candidates who blur the two lose marks very quickly. Moral evil is evil that results directly from human choices and actions. Think murder, war, genocide, theft, cruelty. The Holocaust is a powerful example of moral evil. It was caused by human decisions, human ideology, and human action. The key phrase here is human agency. Natural evil, on the other hand, is evil or suffering that occurs independently of human action. Think earthquakes, tsunamis, cancer, famine caused by drought. The 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, which killed over 200,000 people, is a classic example of natural evil. No human chose to cause it. Make sure you can give a specific example of each type. Examiners love to see that precision. Section 2. The free will defense. So how do religious believers respond to the inconsistent triad? This is where theodicies come in. A theodicy is an attempt to justify why God allows evil and suffering to exist. The first and most widely discussed is the free will defense, associated with the early Christian theologian Augustine of Hippo, and later developed by the contemporary philosopher Alvin Plantinga. The argument goes like this. God gave humans genuine free will, the genuine ability to choose between good and evil. This is a gift, not a flaw. A world in which humans can genuinely choose to love God and do good is more valuable than a world of pre-programmed robots who have no real choice. But, and this is crucial, genuine free will means humans also have the capacity to choose evil. Moral evil, therefore, is not God's creation. It is the result of humans misusing the freedom God gave them. The theological grounding for this comes from Genesis 3, the story of the fall. Adam and Eve were given free will in the Garden of Eden. They chose to disobey God by eating the forbidden fruit. This act of disobedience introduced sin, and with it, moral evil and suffering into the world. Augustine argued that all human suffering is ultimately a consequence of this original sin. Now, here's a key exam point. When you reference Genesis 3 in your answer, don't just describe what happened. Explain its theological function. The fall explains the origin of moral evil. That's what earns you marks. A great source of wisdom and authority to use here is Genesis 1 verse 31, where God looks at all he has created and declares it very good. This shows that evil was not part of God's original design. It entered through human choice. What about natural evil? This is where the free will defense faces its biggest challenge. Critics argue that earthquakes and diseases have nothing to do with human free will. Augustine's response was that natural evil is also a consequence of the fall, the disruption of the natural order caused by humanity's original sin. But many candidates and many philosophers find this explanation less convincing. Section 3, the soul-making theodicy. The second major theodicy you need to know is the soul-making theodicy, developed by the 20th century theologian John Hick, drawing on the ideas of the early church father Irenaeus. Hick's starting point is different from Augustine's. Rather than seeing humans as originally perfect beings who fell from grace, Hick argues that humans were created immature, made in the image of God, but not yet in the likeness of God. The purpose of human life, and indeed of the world itself, is for humans to grow spiritually and morally into that likeness. Here's the key idea. Suffering and evil are necessary for that growth. You cannot develop courage without facing danger. You cannot develop compassion without encountering suffering. You cannot develop faith without uncertainty. Hick described the world as a veil of soul-making, a place designed not for comfort, but for moral and spiritual development. From this perspective, God allows evil and suffering not because he is indifferent, but because he knows that it is through struggle and hardship that humans become fully human, fully the beings he intended them to be. Hick also introduces the concept of epistemic distance. God does not make his existence overwhelmingly obvious, because if he did, humans would have no genuine choice about whether to believe in him or follow him. The distance allows for authentic faith. A useful source of wisdom and authority here is Romans 5, verse 3 to 4, where Paul writes that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character hope. This directly supports the soul-making idea that suffering has a purpose. The story of Job is also essential here. Job is a righteous man who suffers terribly. He loses his children, his wealth, and his health, yet he maintains his faith. God eventually restores Job and declares him righteous. The book of Job suggests that suffering can be a test of faith and that God's purposes are beyond full human understanding. Job 1 verse 21, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised," is a powerful quotation to use. Section 4, Exam Tips and Common Mistakes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This is where marks are won and lost. For the 5-mark C question, which asks you to explain two ways or explain how, you must use the PESL structure. That stands for Point, Explain, Source of Wisdom and Authority Link. Let me say that again. Point, Explain, SOA, Link. Here's the critical rule. If you do not include a recognizable source of wisdom and authority in your answer to the C question, you are capped at a maximum of 2 marks out of 5. That is a devastating loss of marks for something entirely avoidable. Memorize at least 2 or 3 SOA that are relevant to this topic. Genesis 1 verse 31, Job 1 verse 21, Romans 5 verse 3 to 4, and Psalm 22 verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Are all excellent options. Now, the most common mistake I see in C answers is candidates who know the content but forget to include the SOA. Don't let that be you. For the 12-mark D question, the How Far Do You Agree essay, the most common mistake is what examiners call the tennis match essay. This is where a candidate writes one argument for, then one argument against, then one for, then one against, back and forth, without ever reaching a genuine conclusion. This approach will not get you above level 2. To reach level 3 or level 4, you need a sustained appraisal. That means you need to evaluate the arguments, not just list them. Ask yourself, which argument is stronger and why? What are the weaknesses of each position? And crucially, your conclusion must directly answer the "how far do you agree" prompt with a justified verdict. Allocate 15 to 17 minutes to the D question. It carries 12 marks. That's 50% of the marks for the section. Do not rush it and do not run out of time. Another common mistake. Candidates describe the events of the fall, Adam and Eve, the garden, the forbidden fruit, without explaining why it matters theologically. The fall matters because it is the theological explanation for the origin of moral evil. Always explain the function, not just the story. Finally, do not conflate moral and natural evil. If a question asks for an example of natural evil, do not write murder. If it asks for moral evil, do not write earthquake. This is a basic distinction that examiners expect you to have mastered. Section 5, Quickfire Recall Quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, pause the podcast after each one, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What are the 3 components of the inconsistent triad? Answer. God is omnipotent, God is omnibenevolent, and evil and suffering exist. Question 2. Give one example of moral evil and one example of natural evil. Answer: moral evil, murder, war, the Holocaust. Natural evil, earthquakes, tsunamis, cancer. Question 3. Which theologian developed the soul-making theodicy, and what is the key phrase he used to describe the world? Answer: John Hick. He described the world as a veil of soul-making. Question 4. What does PESL stand for, and when do you use it? Answer: point, explain, source of wisdom and authority, link. Use it for the 5-mark C question. Question 5. What is the maximum mark you can receive on the C question if you fail to include a source of wisdom and authority? Answer: 2 marks out of 5. How did you do? If you stumbled on any of those, go back and review that section before your exam. Section 6. Summary and sign-off. Let's bring it all together. The topic of good, evil, and suffering asks you to engage with one of the deepest questions in religious philosophy. How can a good and powerful God allow evil and suffering to exist? The inconsistent triad frames the problem. God's omnipotence, omnibenevolence, and the existence of evil appear logically incompatible. You must be able to distinguish clearly between moral evil caused by human agency and natural evil, independent of human action. The two main theodicies offer different responses. The free will defense, associated with Augustine and Plantinga, argues that moral evil results from humans misusing God's gift of free will, with the fall in Genesis 3 as the theological origin point. The soul-making theodicy, developed by John Hick, drawing on Irenaeus, argues that suffering is a necessary part of human spiritual development in a world designed as a veil of soul-making. In your exam, use PESL for the C question. Always include a SOA and write a sustained evaluative essay with a clear conclusion for the D question. You've got this. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode of GCSE Revision Ready.